Now on Documentary on News Talk, producer Eamon Little takes us on a journey deep into the heart of the Irish countryside in the company of men who know it inside out, in Out of the River and the Fields. The programme contains graphic content which some listeners may find disturbing.
Because I have a weakness for fishing with flies, I find myself one summer evening bent over a stone bridge, gazing at a fat trout in a gin clear stream, and listening to the water. Until I'm woken out of that spell by the presence of an older man, now also bent over the bridge beside me. Where did he come from? How long has he been there? Such is the chat that swiftly ensues that I beg his indulgence for my other weakness and return from the car with the recording device I never leave home without.
But he never got back to me.
What is this tape exactly?
The one we were fishing in the night, catching the trout.
Right.
Fishing by night. He done the filming and then we went off catching trout, myself and my nephew. It's a fairly dark film. It was good, though. You know, there's about, I'd say 15, 16 trout caught. We've done two bits of streams down on the other end.
What kind of fishing exactly are we talking about here?
Poaching. We'd have a pole about 10 foot long, an ash or a hazel pole. And it would be about 10 foot long. And on the end of it, you'd have a round ring with a piece of a net on it. And when the trout would go up the river, we'd just take them out of the river with the net, just every time. The moment the knitwear hit the water, the trout was on the bank, so fast. We used to catch them that way, but then we got a modern piece of netting, which was a lot lighter. So we used to catch them. We used to catch them with that. We'd always go fishing on a Thursday, because the people would want to fish for Friday. But if we caught them on a Thursday, we'd be able to get 10 shillings from them, which was 4 half-crowns, which you'd have to have nearly half a dozen good trout before you get the 10 shillings. They used to cook them then of a Friday, the people. We used to supply a few of them, but we never caught too many, like, you know. You'd only catch 10 or 15.
And did you ever do any other kind of poach?
When we used to go snaring, when we were able to do a bit of running, when we were younger. Snaring was a work of art. Even the sergeant knew we were at it, the sergeant in the town, and he said to me one day, he wanted to write a book about poaching, he said, because when you're gone, nobody will know how to do it. We used to get a nice day in April or May. Depends on the sun. If the sun was good, you'd have a good day. You'd be on one bank and I'd be on the other bank. A nice sunny day. And the trout will know you're there all the time. The trout will watch you and they will go up. You go up, they'll come back. You come back. Up and down 3 or 4 times and they will lie on the bottom of the river. And we used to have a long hazel pole or a long ash, 10 foot, a piece of bull wire on top of it and an ornery rabbit snare, brass rabbit snare, on the end of it, because you'd see the brass in the water. Put it down over his head. Just when you go down over his gill, give one pull, and to tighten so much, he'd be on the bank in a second.
But how have you managed to get the hoop over his head without him moving?
He wouldn't move. He'll know exactly what you're doing. They'll watch you, the trout will watch you. And their eyes will move, you know, from side to side. Have you ever seen a salmon's eyes move?
No.
Oh, I have. I've seen salmon fighting under a bridge and I've seen their eyes moving in their head, like that, fighting under a bridge. But
just getting back to that moment when you slipped that thing over his head, why do you think he doesn't move?
They don't move. You'd have to see it done.
We're talking about a river that's not very wide now.
This river here.
It's about 10, what is it?
15 foot. We'd have a pole on each side. You'd have a pole, I'd have a pole. You'd be on one side, I'd be on the other. They usually lie in the middle. Then if it went in under a sod under the bank, he'd jump on the sod and he'd come out and he'd be on the move again. Sometimes if you met a lad 3 or 4 pound weight, he'd try and hide under the bank. But in March and April, there wouldn't be any weeds. June and July, from now on, you wouldn't see the river.
The idea of walking up and down, is that to tire him out? Or?
Yeah, it'll tire him.
Tiring him out then is why he doesn't move when you put the snare on.
But it don't take a lot of tiring him. They'll stick to the middle of the river and they'll go up and down a few times. You give them a couple of runs and then they'll lie. But sometimes there's a shoal of them. And when you come back along the river, you'd find 4 or 5 of them lying with their mouth open. And you just catch them. They don't move. Sometimes if you went into a heavy weed, You could pull back the weed with the snare till you get in over his head. You never go in over the tail. But the tail nearly always on the ground. And the lurcher went back past his gill, pull, and he was on the bank. Take him, give him a tap, and that was it. And you'll always know a trout that was caught with a snare. They always had a mark on him. That's where we always caught him. All the brothers, the father, two of the relations, they've been fishing since they were kids. That was survival then, when times were hard. They used to catch the trout. Well, we have been caught by the guards years ago. It was the guard and the town was the enemy. There's a shrew.
He's a tiny little thing. You want to hurry up?
Hope he don't get killed.
He made it.
Yeah. But we were fishing one day, myself and a chap that's in America now, and my brother that's up the road there. We were fishing and a guard came after us, the same guard nobody liked. We were snaring trout and pike of a Sunday morning. And the next thing in, the guard jumps over the bridge. We ran down the bank. I was on the left-hand bank, and brother and his friend was on the other bank. But down 500 or 600 yards, there was two girders across the river where the farmer used to cross from one side to the other to check on the cattle. So I crossed the girders over, and we ran, and there was a big, heavy cluster of trees and briars and bushes, and we hid over there. And he came down searching for us, but he couldn't find us. So we hid in there for a long time till he went. But while we were hiding in there, we heard noise. We heard, like, banging, and we looked over, and there was furs in front of us. And we saw these feathers coming up out of the furs. The next thing we seen a swan, and he circled around, and he came in. He came in two or three times over these furs, these whin bushes. And just as he came in, he was about 4 foot off the ground, a fox jumped up, grabbed him by the legs, he crash-landed, and all you saw was feathers. They killed the two swans that Sunday in the furs. It was right on the side of the riverbank. The swan must have had a nest, or young. The swans was trying to protect the young. Well, we didn't go over because the guards was on our tail, so we had to stay hiding in the bushes. But we witnessed it.
But there can't be many around now who would be expert enough to snare trout.
Milo's gifted. Milo gets into the river. If I went looking for Milo now tomorrow, we say tomorrow was a nice day, a very warm day, and I went down, I know he would have been after being in the river, because you'd see his trousers hanging on a nail on the side of the shed, because he would hang it there to dry after being in the river. But Milo gets in the river with a little bit of a knitting wire, and he will walk along under all the ledges, because the trout will stay under the ledges where there's a weed coming out, and he just put the piece of wire in with his hand, and he will touch the weed with his foot like this in the river, and the trout will go into it and he'll lift it and catch it. And if it's not the one he wants, he'll let it go again, if it's not the right size. And he's been doing that all his life. The bailiff's caught him below on the river at the back of the house one sunny day, and he was down demonstrating an Englishman over on holidays. He was showing him how he catches the trout under the bank, and the bailiff walked in on top of him, and he got 6 months in Spike Island for having a few trout in a bag. It didn't happen in Ethiopia, what happened. 6 months he got, and while he was down there, he broke his ankle. But people are gone too well off now, they're all going to supermarkets. They never lived like us, so they didn't. We lived out of the fields and out of the river. All our life.
You don't spend much time in supermarkets?
No, don't be seeing the town. Births, deaths or marriages, you won't see me. I do tell my friends, you'll be at my funeral, but I won't be at yours. That's the way I look at it. If my daughters was getting married, no, I don't go to weddings.
Not even your daughters?
No. My brothers die, I don't go to the funeral.
When you say you lived out of the river and the fields, how did you get out of the fields?
We used to shoot the world of rabbits. We used to eat a lot of rabbits. I didn't eat a rabbit now in a few years. We used to eat a lot of rabbits. We would shoot the rabbit, punch them, as we used to say, take the belly out of them, bring them home, skin them. I had a special bucket that nothing else used to go in. I used to put the rabbits in it and put in vinegar and salt, a good bit of salt overnight. And it would turn the rabbits snow white, the vinegar and the salt. And cook them down. Beautiful they were, rabbits. Oh, lovely. No fat, no nothing.
You wouldn't eat them now?
Oh, I would, yeah. Three-quarter grown rabbits are beautiful. When I used to eat the rabbits, I always used to try and shoot them in the head because I don't like any black marks on the meat. If someone gave me a rabbit and he was tattered with pellets, no good. And years ago, we used to shoot the odd hare, but not very often. The only hare we would ever shoot was for eating. But there's a lot of eating in a hare. And brilliant soup. Oh, there was brilliant soup in a hare. real dark soup. Carrots and parsnips. And the back legs of a hare. They were brilliant eats, so real dark meat. But the most of them gets killed in April. The farmer kills the most of the hares in April. He kills more than any people with dogs or anything. And how would you think he kills them? He kills them with his roller, rolling the grass. And the young hares are in the tufts of grass in April. But they don't realise that they're in it. They wouldn't be thinking about these things. But that happens the whole time. And if you watch a field where there's young hares and it's being rolled in the month of April or May, when it comes to evening time, you watch the grey-backed crows and you see them in the field scavenging for the young hares. They know they're in it too. And we used to get £2 for a hare years ago when I think about it. It was a terrible lot of money. Live hares for to give to the greyhounds a run. But now they're not allowed to kill the hares, which is a good thing. You know, the hares are protected.
There was an interesting sound there before the car, did you hear it?
I thought I heard an owl.
Yeah.
I thought I heard him here, that's why I stopped.
Yeah, yeah.
But before this was cut, a few years ago, we used to come down here, myself and the wife, around 10 o'clock, in nice evenings. You should hear the owls along here, and then they'd start to fly. I'm surprised we haven't seen some now tonight. You've got a lot of brown owls, the big long-eared. Yeah, we've got a lot of them. We used to have a regular. The wife used to love looking out at them. We used to land on the clothesline on the post when I used to keep all the pheasants. I used to have a pheasant pen at the back and there'd be a lot of cord and stuff and there'd be mice. And he'd come every single evening. But one evening he came and he pulled one of my finches through the wire. Pulled them through it with his claws. You could see all the feathers and everything. But I used to breed all types of pheasants, ornamental pheasants, and I used to crossbreed them. They were brilliant colours, so they were. Chinese mandarin ducks we used to breed. I used to let go a lot of the coloured pheasants, but people used to shoot them to stuff them, and that's why I lost interest in breeding pheasants. That's why the owls stopped coming. All I have now is a few goldfinches and a few Australian kakarikis. I have a pair of Chattern lorikeets. Cage birds, that's all I have now. But one time, I had everything.
So you don't go walking the countryside at night anymore, no?
We do in the winter. Yeah, in the winter time we do. We go out shooting foxes, yeah.
Shooting them?
Yeah. Shooting for the farmers. We'd have lambs, sheep lambing. Otherwise we wouldn't bother with them. We'd have the squealers, like, to call the foxes. We'd take a fairly powerful light with us. We'd have a dimmer on it. We'd walk through the sheep, and they'd be always around the sheep in the night time. About February or March in the lambing season. If you see a fox, you'll call him, like a rabbit squeal. He thinks there's a rabbit in distress and he will run up to you. Especially if there's two foxes. One fox will think the other fox has got a rabbit and he'll come up to share it. And you'll see him coming. And you have a light with a dimmer on and turn down the light. And then when he gets up close enough, raise your light. Bang. Not fear, like, you know what I mean? But that's the way it is done. But they take quite a lot of lambs. We have shot them even carrying lambs. See, when the yows have lambs, they take them straight away. And they do kill a lot of lambs. I heard an intelligent woman saying on the television one time in England that foxes didn't kill lambs, which is not true. Down through the years, we used to shoot them for the money. We used to get up to £30 for the skins. Skin them and dry them. A firm in Germany used to buy them, Rosenberg's. They bought all the fox furs. And before otters were protected years ago, when times were hard, we used to shoot otters then and get £3 for them. But it's a different story now, like. We'd rather look at them than shoot them, you know what I mean? Smith in Dublin used to buy the pelts of the otters. But when you think back on it, it was a hard way to get a few pound, like, you know, because they're a lovely animal. So is the fox a lovely animal. I love the fox, even though we shot hundreds of them.
That'll be very interesting to go out with you on an evening like that.
The following March, back in the parish with arrangements made, I land in darkness in the yard of a farm where lambing is in full swing. Had I paid more attention before, I'd have twigged that lamping foxes is not a pursuit undertaken alone. The other man, his nephew, has a powerful lamp rigged to what looks like a miniature car battery, and the uncle has a rifle. The farmer couldn't be more helpful.
You have in your field and the field by the river, there are frozen lambs in there.
We're going to be where the lambs are.
Yeah, they are.
We're going out for a look down there.
We're bound to see him down here. Oh, yeah.
I can tell you, you hear him flying there at night.
Oh, yeah. I hope we see something now. I'll see you later, Brian.
Look at the lambs.
Two more lambs born.
It's a serious gate.
Yeah, it's a nice gate, that.
Yeah, it's the open button.
So you could fit half a county legion to that field.
There's a plantation off to the left, and that's where they stay during the day. There's always foxes down here, especially where the sheep are. And you often see badgers in the field here in the night. You could walk up and give them a kick if you wanted that, especially if a breezy night. If we saw tame. Remember the night we shot the lad over there? We had the dead lamb below near the ditch.
You got for killing the lamb?
Yeah, he had the liver eaten out of it. And we were after searching the whole place, and we saw nothing, it snowed.
Yeah, he had, that was his 17th lamb he was taking.
Yeah.
He was after killing. He got him that night. One of the toughest nights ever came. In February, wasn't it?
It snowed that night.
It was sleet and hail and snow. We heard all the sheep, and they were very uneasy. And they were bawling, like, you know, and the lambs were on. Go back just for one check, there's only 2 fields back. And I went back down, and there he was. He was after killing the lamb, it was a black lamb, remember?
Yeah.
And he stole up within 40 or 50 yards of him. He was so busy, he realised then that you were there. And he got up to go, but it was too late then.
It was a beautiful fox, too, a lovely vixen. You feel sorry for her. The goes for the liver.
Yeah.
Eat the liver out. And they leave the rest of it. And they bite them on the neck. You see the holes in their neck when you skin them. I skinned a few for farmers now just to see what killed them. The lambs, and you see the teeth marks.
You want to see the bites in the back of their neck. 17 lambs was a lot of lambs if you go on the one lad there.
That's a lot of money.
And the one fox doing it, a rogue fox.
But how could you tell, say, that the one that you got had already killed 17 lambs?
Oh, well, you see, there was no lamb ever taken after the bit over where he shot that fox. That was the finish of it. That was the rogue fox that was killing them all. He was getting handy feed.
Every fox don't kill him, it's just... Yeah.
You get these rogues that start killing them. When the sheep and lamb, you see, if they're good and healthy and they're strong there, they'll be up fairly quick and they'll be gone, you know. They'll be going on with the mother. But sometimes then they're a bit wake and they're lying down and they're falling around the place. And them are the vulnerable ones then, you see, the fox will take them. And a fox that starts getting old and they're not able to hunt as well as they used to be, a vixen especially, them are the ones that'll do the harm. They're slow down and they're not able to kill like they used to be. And then they'll take handy feeding, like them wake lambs and things like that. Chickens and come in around houses, ducks.
They love ducks, because ducks never shuts up and they always know where they are. They keep quacking all the time.
Yeah.
And as they put their head out through the wire, they'll just take the head off them.
Remember the time they killed him in Yubila?
No, I do.
Oh, was it 5 ducks, was it?
Oh, he killed 9 altogether.
Yeah, and the hens as well.
Yeah.
And he wasn't able to get out of the pen.
He got shot in the pen.
He forgot where he got in.
Yeah.
And he couldn't get out. He was jumping up again. And I remember that even when I went down.
Yeah.
They were all dead up in the path.
Huge big fox.
And as smart as he was, he wasn't able to get out of the pen.
There's a field on your right there.
So you're sweeping the field with the lamb?
Oh, yeah. So you just have to keep searching, you see.
Jesus, the sheep.
Right.
They put their heart across me, they're so quiet.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a heap of sheep out there. I think there's about 90 out there, or 100.
And these are all great fields for foxes. Where the lambs would be, you'd see.
Little lambs, huh?
Mm. Easy prey, ain't they? Jeez, I'm very surprised there's not foxes here. Especially with them sheep. Very surprised. I wasn't looking for them to be here.
I'm sure maybe it's just as well. I'm actually kind of iffy about seeing a fox being shot.
Smell one there now, do you smell that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice smeller.
There's a lad. There's a fox.
Yeah.
Like a big silver eyes.
Yeah.
See the eyes.
I do.
You see her there?
Yeah.
Did it run?
Well, we'll pick it again now in a minute. Yeah. We know all these fields, so and the wind is right going this way too, because there's dung spread here now. It'll be here at the dung. Oh, you see now.
She's here.
Keep down to the riverbank.
She coming?
She's going out the field a bit.
She's not friendly.
She's not nice, no.
Look at her. Oh, she's miles away, yeah.
You see where she's going now? She's gone off down towards.
Now she's worried, that one. Well, that often run right up to you.
Yeah.
We often walked up some of a wet, windy night and you'd see their tongue picking the worms off of the ground.
Were you hoping he'd get closer for you to shoot him, or?
Yeah, well, he wasn't waiting. He could have been fired up before.
So where is the skill involved in this pursuit?
The skill, I suppose, is if you can get within 150 yards, 200 yards of him. Yeah, we often shoot them at 300 yards. Mm-hmm. Some of the foxes weren't to see the light, they're gone. Like that fella now, he only looked back a few times and kept going.
He didn't like it at all.
Yeah.
You meet some of them there, then they're just there mooching and hunting around and going back and forward.
Oh, yeah, some of them wouldn't even look at you, they just pooch around the ground.
That they'll stand. They'll stand in for 5 or 6 seconds.
I often seen them on the riverbank looking into the water, looking at themselves, looking at their own shadow. Especially if you can have breezy night. The wind seems to. A breezy night is different altogether. Whatever way it affects them.
But why wouldn't they run when they hear you?
I don't think they hear you when you're going against the wind.
Oh, yeah.
But if you're at the wrong side of a fox and he puts his head up, you see his eyes bobbing, and that's it. He's gone, he gets to smell you. Gone. Like a rocket.
But is there some kind of a skill in actually finding them in the first place?
Well, they're usually around here, but you see, they make.
How did you know that one was a vixen?
Well, the vixen has green eyes. Don't know how it works, but her eyes light up green with the light.
That's only in the reflection?
Yeah. The dog has the red eye.
Are you serious?
How we learned about that was when the foxes were mating, you'd often see three dogs following one, and you'd know all the dogs compared to the vixen. And we often shot all the dogs and didn't shoot the vixen because they'd keep coming after.
You wouldn't hear the vixen screaming?
No,
evenings, no,
not in only in December and January.
But I heard them there.
You would hear the odd one, yeah.
December and January, you hear them fighting. They do shocking fighting.
What are they fighting over?
Fighting over the vixen.
A territory.
Territory.
For the mating season.
Why would the vixen scream?
She's not ready to be mated. She likes that woman that she beats out of the bed.
Did you ever watch them in the summertime when the cubs would be out? The little cubs would be out playing,
yeah.
Wrestling in the grass there, you see them. You know where the old breeding burrows would be, you know. They often went off with the binoculars on them. And I know where they'd be, and I watch them from a distance, maybe from 100 yards. You'd see the vixen coming back to them then to feed them. Sometimes she could have a crow or she could have a bit of a rabbit.
Oh, yeah.
And if she'd give a little call, she'd come so far and she'd be so careful, like, you know. And if she saw you, when you would go back the evening after, to be moved.
Moved, yeah.
Gone, once she'd see you. She would have gone 400, 500 yards to a different place.
Yeah, when do you
I often watch them, you see them wrestling and playing just like pups, like little dogs. And when she'd be coming near the burrow, she gives a little call. And they'd all run out to her. And then if she sees something and she's afraid or she gets nervous, she gives another kind of a call.
A different one altogether.
And they'd all run back in.
Gone, yeah.
It's a warning call.
A scarf.
You get used to them over the years and looking at them, you know, watching them, you know what to be doing. You see badgers then, you could meet them sometimes and they'd have small ones with them and they'd nearly pass out from here to you.
Like football?
In the high grass, yeah. And they're bouncing and running around the place. They're very short-sighted, the badgers.
I was telling Eamon about the film we made, Catching the Trout.
Oh, yeah.
It's a mystery where that tape went.
We wander about for 2 more hours, in which 3 more foxes are sighted.
Disappointing now tonight, we see nothing.
But each is weary and gone before any chance to shoot arises.
They'd make a liar every time.
Yeah.
You could go.
We finish up agreeing to give it another shot. Sometime. As it happens, that video of fishing by night turns up and proves a gem. The uncle wasn't lying when he said it was a fairly dark film. You wouldn't be missing much to just listen to the sound.
There is he.
Has he gone up here? Up a bit
nice. Oh, no, that was a little.
And picture in your mind the same 2 men out on the bank in the dark winter night. The nephew with the same lamp, But the uncle now with the wide net and a long hazel pole instead of a gun.
In front of me. Lest I get down here. Lest I fall in here.
Oh, he's gone again now.
No, he's right there. Go back a bit. Go back. Go back. Look at him there, under you. Pull it down a bit. Right in front of you. See him? That's it.
Yes. Lucky dip.
How it seems to work is, the nephew lights up the narrow river, following any decent trout he spies.
Oh, no, that was a little lad. Oh, no, there he is. Look at him. I knew he was under the bank.
And the uncle, ahead of him, presses the net down hard on a spot the fish is approaching, twists the lot with a strong flick of the wrist, and scoops his catch.
Go into it, you bastard.
Or nothing. Out onto the bank.
There's no wire over there.
I'll chance it here. Lighten up there now.
There could be wire over there. Yeah, want the scissors to get out.
It doesn't really strike me as a sport requiring the same sort of subtleties as the snaring he described.
It's a lovely jazz, and
I nearly fell in, so.
Jesus, by a damn near went in.
But my favourite moment is when the lads come much closer to a fox than they did on the night we were lamping.
You hear that fixing? You hear?
He's coming down the bank.
You have to imagine the camera chasing a lamp beam around in pitch darkness and landing on more pitch darkness.
That's the fixing, fox. Turn off the light and she'll see it coming. See, the wind is right, that's why she... Is there two in it? Yeah, there is two. She'll stay coming now. She'll come close.
The uncle seems to be addressing the camera.
Years ago, they reckoned that was the banshee.
No, give her a squeal. See when she'll come close.
With no gun handy, the game now seems to be to draw a vixen close. Just for a look.
She's not caught now, she hears that. I saw her there above.
Yeah.
I just barely caught her eye up the hill. Go further, we'll probably see.
We'll go back that way.
The rest of the footage is much the same as before.
It's all gravel.
No, see, there's an ice lad now.
Yeah.
Shaky darkness lit by the lamp beam as fish are chased and caught in the net.
I think there's two.
One got out.
Or lost again.
Well, go a bit ahead of me now, just in case, or you'll have an advantage on it.
You're listening to Out of the River and the Fields on Documentary on News Talk.
Midsummer. I find my man down at a ruined castle, passing time among old friends.
Sometimes you will hear them, and you'd have to get the binoculars. They'd be so high when they'd have the young with them. They'd be up in the clouds. But the very minute you come near the castle, you'll always tell when the young are hatched, because they'll start screaming overhead like. They only had two this year. Well, one year they had four. Wednesday, they were training the young. The daughter rang me Wednesday morning at 9:30 and she said, can you hear them? Can you hear them? I said, yeah, I can. Yeah, the peregrines, where are they? Just out over the house, she said. There's four of them. I said, yeah, they're the ones out of the castle. I know, she said. She said, will they take me chickens or ducks? I said, they won't, no. They only hunt in the air. They won't do no harm. They're after knocking down a bird out of the sky here, she said, you should hear the thump off of the ground. But there's one of them must be on the ground. And I said, if there's one on the ground, it must be one of the young ones, because rarely you see the adults on the ground. They're always in the sky. Because when I watched them before, dropping the crow, if the young didn't catch it, they'd catch it before they get to the ground. I gave hours watching them. Well, they come here in March. And they've been here since 1990.
And they know you?
They know me. I have even seen her getting off of the eggs. Just as she stood up off of the eggs, I have her on tape. And I used to go into the castle. I used to be able to climb up and in the window up to last year, when I had to climb anymore, and I have to take a ladder. And I used to check on the eggs. Any time around the 17th of May, they used to be hatched out. I've had them in my hands, Bianca, even when I used to go into the castle. Sometimes when they're young, before they fly, they would come down too low inside in the castle and they wouldn't be able to get back up. And I used to catch them inside in the castle and go up to the top and leave them on the top of the wall on the height, so they were able to get height to take off. I was filming below one evening, well, it wouldn't be the greater anthem, and two swans came in from the left. And I was up on top of the castle, and the peregrines went out and turned them away when they had the young. Same as jet fighters. The swans weren't going to do any harm around them, but I suppose that's the way to think. The American Air Force, that's how they trained, from watching the peregrines. You call it tailing. I've seen programmes on it. Very interesting.
So when they come back next spring, you'll climb into that castle again?
I'll climb in again and watch them and see how many eggs they have. They lay reddish eggs, and they're huge. They have huge big feet when you're close to them. The female, she's huge. Even the young, when all the fluff and the down go off of them. And they're huge big eyes, they're lovely. They're a lovely bird. You don't realise they're as big, the female, till you're standing beside her. It's great to hear them in the sky there, you know. Once they hatch, they will treat everyone the same. They'll go floating around screaming, and they'll come in real slow over the top of the building, and very much go away, then she'll go back in. He brings in the food. He would come in from the Dublin end, as we call it, and create a fuss in the sky, and she'd go out to meet him, and they would transfer the food in there, and she would bring it back to the nest. But there's a big oak tree there, and I call it the ripping tree, because when you go over underneath it, you see all the feathers and the legs of pigeons. And you get a lot of, there must be racing pigeons coming from Great Britain, because GB is on the rings. I'd pick up the legs and take off the rings. I never tried to look them up or anything, because they'd want to know where you got them then, you see, because these pigeon people don't like peregrines. They would rather shoot them than look at them.
But they sound ravenous. What else do they feed them?
Mostly pigeons, jackdaws, magpies, crows. I don't know how he doesn't get shot, because all the pigeons that he's killed down through the years, you know. Where he brings them from, I don't know, but he must go a long ways. One time from Cork to Dublin here, you'd see a lot of pigeons flying, but I don't know whether there'd be any flights from England or what, but they're definitely GB on the rings. I must show you the rings. I might even have a ring in my pocket. Right. I used to have a load of them. Yeah, that's a ring. I have some GB in them. I don't know.
You'd it's
have
one to, six, yeah, it's GB.
You can have yeah. that. I'll get you some more.
GB 99L138.
The following March again.
Our stars up there tonight.
I joined the lads for another crack at lamping foxes.
It's freezing too.
This time we take a different route.
It's starting to really freeze now.
And this time the nephew brings a shotgun to complement the uncle's rifle.
Fox is over here.
The grass is already crisp underfoot starting out.
No one hunts it only ourselves, and we haven't been over for a long time because of the motorway. Before we used to just come out the front door and across the field, but since they put the motorway there now, they divided it between the farm and where we live. Since that motorway went in now, it's made it put a big hindrance on us. Before we used to hunt to the river and they'd follow the river bank. But now we can't get to the river bank. No, the foxes can't get to the river bank.
Did they not make any allowance in the motorway for
overpasses? No, not for foxes, no.
They did for badgers, did they?
Yeah, but there's a lot of foxes getting killed on the motorway there. They'll have to jump the fence, the foxes.
Yeah, they'll find their own way anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Across the road like this, if you met a fox there, no, there's nothing you could do, you know? Because he's too near the motorway. Too dangerous.
The motorway really does place a boundary on the world.
I suppose that lad in the lorry is saying, who is them bunch of lunatics?
Especially at night when you can't see beyond. We traipse from one likely field to the next, the nephew with his lamp sweeping all ahead of us at regular intervals. Until...
fox here. Stays, he'll do him on his own. Oh, I know he's after moving. He's gone out in the other field now, Eminence. you know, be stands heel. Take care. We'll move up to him here and see what's happening. Thought he was going to stand, did you?
He's not even looking, is he?
Where's he gone?
He went out through the grass there. He was at the other side of the path.
He's at the other side now. We can't see him.
Yeah, but he'd look. He should look.
He's probably just at the far side of that now. Mooching along and we can't see him. And he'll hardly... Is that him?
It's him, yeah.
The next and last we see of that fox is two fields away and moving fast.
He went like a train?
Body low to the ground.
We might find him over here.
His tail sticking straight out behind.
It was a big fox.
Yeah, I saw him three times that you flashed him. I thought he was going to stand.
I thought we were going to make noise over there. You had to stop at all. And the wind was wrong, you see.
Yeah. We're going out here.
You see that badger?
I do.
His light reveals a badger ambling across our path, just yards away. Any badger I've met before has been a rotting carcass, usually on the road.
We'll stay walking to him anyway.
Yeah.
This one is fully alive and bouncing happily along like a cartoon character. Nose to the ground, bum to the wind, wholly oblivious to our presence so nearby, heading for the far ditch.
He knows where he's going to get out. He's probably heading for the gate. See?
Do you remember the night you shot the fox with the torch?
Oh, I do, yeah.
In the bag and all, and going along.
And he had a cut by the top of the bag and his head up carrying it. It's on stores bag.
You'd have to see it now to believe it, you know?
In the supermarket.
When I looked in the scope of the rifle, I could see that the fox was carrying something white. As I said, I think he's carrying a lamb. So I followed him anyway and he went down and you wouldn't believe it. He was carrying a turkey in a Dun Stores bag, a frozen turkey. I think someone left it out to thaw out and he took it because...
You never got here.
Did you bring it home and cook it?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. No.
So why not?
Very surprised the fox is here. We must have a magpie with us.
Sorry, lads. So what can I do?
What does the law say about what you're up to now? Well, some people don't like you shooting the foxes.
Animal rights.
Yeah, anti-blood sport code, animal they wouldn't think.
Is it illegal?
Oh, no.
Foxes are vermin.
Yeah.
Foxes are preserved, all right.
So have you any idea why you actually do it?
What sure to say? The time of the year was in the lads of phone, you like, with all these lads with all these sheep. They start taking lambs on them. They come up then and get the culprits that stone.
Every lamb that takes €100 now.
Yeah.
Will they give you anything for that?
Oh, God, they would, yeah. You could get a three off of them or a thing like that, you know, or the choir. We'll throw you a bottle of whiskey there, you know, you'd be going down, you'd put a bottle of whiskey on top of the car. Or it could hand you two boxes of cartridges, you know.
But it's hardly for that to do it, though.
Ah, sure, we're doing it all our life, you know, man. We're born to it.
It is a disease.
Was there a time when you bring the tail of a fox?
That's right, yeah. The tail years ago was in Kilkenny and the tongue was in Leash. We're talking about 50 years ago.
Yeah, I remember you had to surrender the tail to get the bounty on the fox.
That's right, yeah. And if you had land in Leash and land in Kilkenny, you would get 10 shillings for the tail in Kilkenny and 10 shillings for the tongue in Leash, so you get £1 at that time. Depends on where you had the farm. Sure, 10 shillings that time was quite a bit of money.
The farmer would get the money, or who'd get it?
Well, whoever would catch the foxes. If we shot the foxes, we'd give them to the farmer and he'd give us the money. He'd get the money because he had the land in the two different counties. The same now, if you shoot mink, there's €3 of a bounty on him.
Have you shot him?
No, we wouldn't bother shooting for the bounty. We'd shoot them if they were doing damage, which they do. They're very destructive.
They like to kill just for sport?
Oh, yeah. They kill a lot of ducks and waterfowl and everything from the rivers.
They killed all our chickens one time.
Oh, yeah.
Just took the heads off.
That's right, yeah. He will kill them all, though. He won't be happy to kill them one or two.
They come back for them all. Once it starts.
And when you walk in the countryside at night like this, do you ever see things you're not supposed to see?
Oh, you could see things you'd be better off if you didn't see.
Remember the way we were going down along and we had to pass down by the car? Remember that?
Oh, I do, I do. Yeah.
And the wind is fogged up. We landed a small little bit of a stick.
On top of the
car. Out onto the road. You know, you hear dong, you hear the road. Well, the next thing, the two back doors opened, bang, bang. The two front ones opened, bang, bang. I said it in around their clothes. We only done it for the laugh, like for devilment.
We're interfering with our fishing.
Yeah, we're on our path.
Have we seen some strange things at night?
As before, we see some more foxes over the few hours, and once again we don't get off a shot. Arriving back into the uncle's yard, we are weary.
We didn't see a lot, did we?
I'm not so sure about that.
I think you'd meet more, but that's the way it goes.
So what about that badger? The shed is bursting with nets and poles and rods and traps.
What's the age difference between you two now?
Oh, he's only a boy.
Young lad is all I am. Yeah?
You're 60?
Yeah.
I'm 68. That makes me an infant, so...
Yeah.
Yep, yeah, she's safe now. Oh, you can't be too careful with guns.
No.
Have you ever had an accident with one?
Butchwood, no.
Butchwood, no. No, we've been out in the roughest of weathers. That's why you never wear gloves. Because you don't get the same if you have to fire.
Have the feeling. Yeah, it's there, you'll be rummaging and roting, and the next thing he'll be gone on you.
They didn't wait tonight to go.
Oh, they didn't. It's a good missile they'd want to get, huh?
Yeah. Debian Hunter before. Mm.
Right. As these things tend to happen, no sooner do I think we're finished than the good chat starts. We're back again to the business of snaring trout.
What is in the daytime we do it?
It's sunnier, it is a nice
sunny day. Nice,
nice calm
bright sunny day.
Sun just up over you there.
April or May.
When the river is clear and there's no weeds much.
Yeah, one block on each bank.
And not a few weeds here and there, that's all you want. And they're tired now, then they go into the weeds, you see. And they lie in the weeds and think they're safe. You win it down over them and
out the bank.
Necklace around. Yes, I don't know how long it is since I snared.
We only pick the ones we want, though.
You don't pick little ones, like.
No,
you pick good ones.
Nice,
nice pound trout.
My feet are not thawing, but neither is the chat ending. The talk has turned now to the ways of feathered vermin.
Traps is a great invention too, sure.
Oh, they are, yeah, where the green and
kind of. One at home, we had an end of it there. We're trying to catch crows in the garden, taking spuds there.
Yeah.
Two sticks, and you put one there, and you join it at the other one here, in the middle. And he'll be there, and you'll have a bit of food down in it for him, anyway. And he'll stay looking into it for a long time, anyway. And the least thing he'll chance it, he'll drop down onto the two sticks, and they'll drop from under. In the middle, something will break in the middle. And he'll boom, up she's going. There, he'll be in it when you go out.
And the one I have up there for catching the magpies, or the grey crows, it's a round one, with the mesh. The where the magpie goes in for the bread, or the egg, or however it is, he just, he always pops on the wires, like a roost.
Yeah.
And the door shuts behind him.
That's right, yeah.
I caught 43 out in that field.
Mm.
Young ones and old ones and everything.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's a wonder there's any wildlife left in that field.
Magpies. Oh, magpies are...
Oh, everyone hates
Magpies are terrible. Mm. Wouldn't leave an egg.
Yeah.
No, egg.
A hen's egg, is it?
Yeah, the hen's eggs,
bastards, yeah.
Take the hen's eggs.
Take everything.
So they'd go into the hen house and take them?
Oh, they would, yeah.
Because we thought they were rats taking ours.
Oh, magpies.
Oh, magpies are going in. Haven't gone in a minute. Remember what I was telling you about friend Mary with that? They were coming in. There were fleas and eggs behind.
Yeah.
And you couldn't come up with an idea how to outsmart them. She'd out the hens every morning at 10 o'clock or 10:30, it'd be all late at that time, you see. Could have a dozen or 15 hens.
Yeah.
So anyway, she came up with this plan. She put a transistor inside in the
house
and turned it on. And they'd be outside looking in, no way would they go in.
They hear the talk.
Yeah, they hear all the talking going on the radio.
Yeah.
And they would not go into the house. And she fixed it, but she solved it.
Turn the glass and the licence fee.
I have a load of birds' nests every year around the house. And last year the same.
It's almost 2 a.m. and freezing hard.
That's why I'm...
My cosy bed is calling to me from far away.
Right.
But we've obviously hit a hot topic.
You'll always know when a magpie is searching. You're tipping it on the top of the ditch.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he's chirping and chirping and chirping.
Yeah,
so the chickens will answer him.
Yeah.
You know, they think it's the mother coming.
Yeah.
The little ones in the nest. And he's chirping and chirping and he's down and he's... Kill every one.
Yeah. Especially the dishes that's cut now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see him popping along and he'd be chirping and looking. It took me a long time to cop that.
And when I had the ducks out here, the wild ducks, the mallard and everything, they used to go down there in the morning, they used to lay in that ditch, and the same story.
Yeah.
Well, one day, the magpie went about taking the egg, of what I'd never seen before. The duck ran out the field with the egg in her mouth.
Mm.
Why, I don't know. She ran out across the field and the magpie tried to take the egg. But why the duck thought, what was that?
Vixen. No. Vixen.
That's the vixen now.
The men are at the door in seconds, me stumbling after them.
Good.
Get a clean card.
You want to walk down the road? And just pick up the rifle and just walk down to the lane.
Will she wait a while, do you think? Will she wait a while there?
The uncle is reloading the rifle. I'm scrambling to ready my recording gear, but he's not waiting around. The lads seem to know exactly where this vixen is and are imbued again with sharpened focus. The hunter's intent.
She stopped.
He's no distance. He's only 100 yards away.
The uncle rests the rifle on the nephew's shoulder and aims while the nephew lights up the field.
Look at her.
A pair of luminous points give us back our light. The fox takes off, running.
Out of the River and the Fields was produced by Eamon Little and was supported by a grant from the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland as part of the Sound and Vision scheme. Sound mixing was by Alan Kelly. No animals were harmed in the making of this programme.